Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
This is Andy and Steph, and we'll have them up in just a second. This is Andy Williams. He's going to be sharing the word. And Andy and Steph. Hey. Very kind, and you are loved. So this morning, Andy and maybe Steph are going to preach the word. And Steph, it's your opportunity. I just feel it. I don't know. Okay, she says okay. So Andy and Steph have been with us for basically 18 months, and they served in our sister church in Bath, England for several years, leading the worship team there, and they came here in faith and excitement and enthusiasm. Thank you, Jesus, for your faith, excitement, enthusiasm. And they are leaving tomorrow to go back to the UK. Sadness for us, adventure for them, which is a good thing. But Andy will be sharing the word in just a moment with us, and we'll respond in worship. Andy will be leading that also. Father, I thank you for the word of God. I thank you for the Bible that you have given us, Lord. Such a precious gift. Lord, that we wouldn't be just given to making up our own thoughts and agendas and rules and understandings, but Father, you've given us the Word of God as your blueprint. We could understand what heaven is like. You sent Jesus, and so much of what he said is written in the Word, Lord, that we would know what the Father is like. Thank you for the Word of God. We treasure it. Give Andy all freedom, all liberality to share everything that you've given him, Lord. We want to receive it and mix it with faith. It'll produce a bumper crop, Father. So bless him in the ministry of the word this morning. Thank you for Andy. Bless him in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you. Good morning. We all right? Having a good morning so far? I'm having a good morning so far. I also just want to start with some thank yous. I figured this is my last Sunday here, so I can kind of do whatever I want, right? Like, I'm literally fleeing the country tomorrow. So, Tom, Randy, I just want to say thank you. Steph said it, but on behalf of me, for my family, thank you. Thank you for your kindness, your generosity, your patience. When we're calling and we're like, where do we buy milk? How do we get a bank account? How does anything work? You've helped us more times and in more ways than we can ever express. And so we want to say thank you. We want to say it publicly because you guys have got amazing, amazing pastors and amazing leaders. And we want to say thank you. We want to say thank you to the elders as well. We've had the privilege of getting to know you guys and sitting at your feet and learning and just seeing how you do things. And I said it to you all individually, I think, but to see how the leadership of this church does things, makes decisions, prays, listens to the Lord is just one of the things that I'm going to remember for the rest of my life. It's taught me how to do it. And I've just sat and seen how godly people make godly decisions. And it's the most beautiful thing. So as elders, thank you. And again, just for the church, like, you've got amazing leaders. And finally, just to all of you guys, to the church. I'm not going to say anything more than what Steph said. She's already said most of it, but we have felt loved and part of the family since before we moved here. When we first came in 2017, we felt part of the family, and we still feel part of the family, and we know that when we leave, we'll have family here. Yes. And yeah, like Finn said, we're looking forward to coming back and learning more about dinosaurs, which is all cool. I also just want to just encourage you as a church. I was just thinking and praying last night, actually, and this morning, Lord, what are you saying? What are you saying to this group, this body of people. And there were two things that I felt and that I've seen just over the last 18 months and that I believe are going to continue to develop and to grow. And I wrote it down because I just want to kind of get it right. But I'm really excited for this house. You know, when we moved here, we were moving here forever. That was our intention. That was our plan. We said, we're going to stay here until the Lord says something different. That was what we said to people when they said, oh, how long are you going to stay? And the Lord has said something different. And so it's with a little bit of pain. I'm excited, but I really wish we were around to kind of see it a little bit more. But I'm so excited. I want to speak to two groups of people. I want to speak to the younger people. And I'm going to let you define whether you're in that category or not, because I was going to put an age on it, and I thought, nah, I'm not going to do that. So I'm going to speak to the younger people first. This church, this house, this body is full of seasoned people who have walked the walk. They've lived life. They've seen miracles. They've seen amazing things. They've seen the Lord move. They've also seen those times, and they've lived through those painful times, either in life or in church, in finances, in health, in all those things. They've lived it. They've walked through it. And they've held fast to Jesus in it. And you can't fake that. You can't fast track that. In our instantaneous world of likes and stuff, you cannot replicate that without doing it. They've walked the walk. They haven't deconstructed church or the Bible or anything else, even when I'm sure it was probably easy to. They hold fast to Jesus. They held fast to the church. They're amazing people. And as young people, it's a gift, I promise you. I've not seen a church like this with so many just wonderful, wonderful seasoned people in it. Just draw on it. Draw on it. Take people out for coffee. Invite yourself over for dinner. Just draw on it. Ask questions. Put yourself under people's teaching and stewardship and leadership and just ask questions, because it's a resource which is rare. There is gold here in a way that I've not seen in many other places. So young people, you're in an amazing, amazing place. An amazing place. And now the seasoned people. And again, you can self-define. You can like call yourself seasoned. This church is and will continually, increasingly continue to become full of younger people. And they love the Lord. They love his presence. And they've not experienced some of the things that you've walked through. They've not experienced some of the pain. They've not experienced some of the things. And your experience isn't their experience. And they're standing on your shoulders. You want to create, with your ceiling, you want to create a floor for them to thrive and to flourish. So pour into them. Love them. Invest in them. They will make mistakes. They will get things wrong. That's all right. We were all there once upon a time. I sometimes remember what I was like when I was 20, and I was like, I thought I knew everything. But now I'm 30. In my 30s, I do know everything. I'm pretty sure in 10 years I'll look back in a different way. But they need mothers, spiritual mothers and spiritual fathers. And that's who you are. It's a call on this house. But you've got younger people who are coming, and you've got gold to share with them and to give them and release them. But I'm excited, really, really, really excited. We'll be watching from afar and coming back to visit and just knowing that we're praying for you, we love you, we're invested, we feel part of the family, and we're excited for the days ahead. They are really, really, really good. So, last Sunday, so for the next 4 or 5 hours, we're gonna, that's a good joke, isn't it? I've never heard it before. We are gonna. We're in the series on the presence of God, and quite honestly, this week has been one of the busiest weeks of my entire life. We moved out of our house. We sold our car. We gave everything away. We've cancelled all the things that took weeks to set up because I didn't know who to talk to. We've just been non-stop, crazy busy all week. And in a lot of ways, you know, my time preparing, I'm being really honest, my time preparing and praying this week has been in the car running errands on the way somewhere. Just like, okay, Lord, what do you want to say on Sunday? And in a lot of ways, I feel like really unprepared this week and unqualified to talk about the presence of God. I'm like, I don't know if I've spent much time with him at all this week. And then I felt the Lord say, we'll talk about that. I was like, oh, okay, cool. The message is in this week somewhere. I was like, great. So I've got some bullet points and we're going to figure it out together, which is going to be fun. The presence, when we talk about the presence of God, I think sometimes we talk about a fuzzy feeling. Like we're talking about, you know, oh, when we feel him in the worship music and the song. And I think some of the things that happen in Western church don't help that. We have these like music moments on YouTube and it's like, this is when God arrived in this little bit of this song. It's where he was. But when we talk about the presence of God, we're not talking about a feeling. We're talking about a person. We're talking about him. He is present in the room. It's not a feeling. The presence. No, no, no. God is here. He's present. He's here right now. All we have to do is stop and look. Because it's never been, the presence of God has never been an issue of him. It's always been us. I'm not present. This week, I haven't been that present. I've been too busy running around, doing things, running errands, all stuff that needed to be done. And it's all right. It needed to be done. It wouldn't have been okay to do it any other way. Sorry, I was just spending time in the presence. Someone else is going to have to clear our house out now. Like, I was too busy with the Lord. Nah, he's fully present in our life. He's fully present when we're at the grocery store or driving the car or running the kids to school or whatever it looks like. He's fully present with us all the time. And thank God that that's true. Thank God that in this relationship, which is what it is, with a father who loves us, thank God that it's both ways. That when I'm busy and I'm distracted, he never is. He is always present. He is never distracted. He always has his full attention, and I don't know how he does this because he's God, on each one of us individually. And it's beautiful. I'm just going to kind of wing it a little bit this morning, and I hope you don't mind. You may or may not be aware, and I found this out at about 12 o'clock last night because the thought popped into my head and I thought I'd Google it. But this Sunday is Pentecost Sunday. And my sense this morning, and I want to, you know, we're going to preach and then we're going to worship, but we're going to spend some time worshiping. And I believe there's an invitation this morning, as there is every Sunday morning, to go a little deeper, go a little further, press in a little more. And so we're going to do that. And I've got some thoughts I want to share just as we kind of get to that spot where we respond in worship, where we respond in I say worship, in song, sung worship. Because music, I think, is just a great focuser. It focuses us on things and it draws our emotions as well as our mind into something. There's a really sad moment in a film and you're watching it play out. Suddenly, when those strings start playing, that's the moment when you feel your emotions just start to go, oh, and then the tears come. So music is a brilliant way of just drawing our attention onto something, and worship music is drawing our attention onto Jesus. It's Pentecost Sunday, and there's a response this morning. When I was talking to Tom a while back, maybe October time, about this kind of time, about presence and about what he felt the Lord was wanting to do in our church, it was this Bible verse, Psalm 27, that was the one that kind of jumped straight into my mind. One thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze on the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple. And, if we've been in church and we've known the Lord for a little while, we'll know that psalm. It's a famous psalm that David wrote. And it's a psalm that we sing about a lot, and it's a psalm that we talk about a lot. But to be honest with you, sometimes I feel like really convicted by it. Because this is David writing in a time where he doesn't have access in the same way that we have access right now. The Bible is, I read the Bible as a book on worship from start to finish. Worship is the central theme, because worship leads to relationship. Anything we worship, we enter into relationship with. And that's what God wants. He wants relationship with his children. The Bible is a story about a father who wants relationship with his kids. He wants to love them. That's a very simplistic way of doing it. But the story of the Bible is about the presence of God. In the garden, there was the presence of God, the fullness of the presence of God. We had it. And then through sin, we lost it. In the tabernacle, we glimpsed it. In Jesus, God restored it. And through the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, we receive it. We receive the presence of God. And David, who was in the middle of that journey, he hadn't received it fully yet, but he wrote this: one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, man, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze, not just glimpse, but gaze on your beauty, and to seek you in your temple. And I read that and I'm like, this week, I don't know if there's any of that that I did. And I feel convicted by it. And I'm like, and I bet there's people in the room here, right? Life is busy. Life is full. There's lots going on. Some weeks are like, this is brilliant. You know what? I was away on Christian camp and, you know, I just had time dedicated and someone was looking after my kids and it was awesome and I spent loads of time with the Lord. And then there are those weeks like the one that I've just had where you're just running errands all the time and busy all the time. And I've been challenged by that. And there's two stories I just want to share, because I believe that, like I said, God is a father who loves his kids. That's who he is. He's not angry. He's not frustrated. He's not sat there like on a distant mountain, like lording and ruling and stuff. He is ruling and reigning, but he's a good, good, good father. And occasionally, I can be a decent father. And nothing, the Lord speaks to me about his heart as a dad through my kids sometimes. And I was just thinking last night, two stories that I wanted to share this morning. One happened this Wednesday evening. Thursday evening. We had spent the evening packing, throwing things into boxes, weighing cases that were a little bit over the limit, and therefore we're like, $100 extra. So we were like unpacking and then doing all this. And then the box broke and then the scales wouldn't work. And then I lost something and then we didn't know where it was. And it was all incredibly stressful. And it was about midnight and I was done. And I was like, I want to go to bed. I'm going to bed. I said, Steph, you need to go to bed. We're all done. Let's go to bed. And as I was walking towards bed, it was about midnight, Toby started crying. And if you've been there, you know what it's like. It's like, if I just wait, I'm going to give him a minute, maybe 10. I might give him an hour just to cry this out because he might just drop off back to sleep again. That's fine. And we've, you know the difference between cries as well. And we kind of knew intrinsic. This is, for people who don't have kids, this sounds so weird and boring, but you'll get there one day, hopefully. That's fine. We knew straight away. We were like, this is a cry. This is a proper cry. And it's a cry because he's growing. He has growing pains in his legs and it happens at night. So I went in and I picked him up and just started, you know, bouncing him, cuddling him. And after a couple of minutes, he dropped off again. And I put him down like I'm defusing a bomb. and then snuck out the room. And as I closed the door, he starts crying again. And I'm like, And at this time, Steph probably has got to the bedroom door, just wandering away through to bed. I'm like, okay, I'm going again. Actually, I don't think I did. I think I was like, maybe if I give him 10 minutes. So I went in again. And I said, Toby, are you okay? And he said, no, my legs hurt. And I said, what do you need? And he said, you. So I picked him up. And I cuddled him. And I said, Toby, do you want me to sing? And I've got these little songs that I sing to the kids. And we have a song that my grandma used to sing to me when I was little, and we sing it to them. And here's a great thing for anyone here who's wants to be like in church ministry or do anything creative or anything. Like, do it for your family before you do it for the church. So if you're a singer, write songs for your family. Write songs for your kids that don't need to be shared here. They're just for them. It's a good thing. I had him for a bit and he dropped off to sleep and then I put him down and walked out and the same thing happened. He started crying and I'm tired. I'm done. It's now probably 12:45 and I'm just done. And in the middle of all that, I remember this psalm. One thing I ask from the Lord is only do I seek that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, gaze on the beauty of the Lord. And there's something about this which is just, I want him. Nothing else will do. I just want him. And I suddenly saw in Toby, that's what he was saying to me. I want you, Dad. Nothing else. I don't want anything else right now. I just want you. Nothing else will do. I don't want a comforter. I don't want like my favorite teddy bear. I don't even want the TV. I want you because I just need to be close to you, really close, like in, like right up close. And I was convicted by that again because I was there like, I'm so tired. And this is not the week where I kind of need to hear that. And I was like, but maybe this is something to share on Sunday, to encourage you that we can find him all the time. We just need to look. We just need to shift our gaze, shift our attention. I can't tell a story about one of my children without telling a story about the other of my children. And this was years ago when we lived in Bath. And this was another teaching moment where the Lord just spoke to me. And this is the relationship with the Lord. We want him. And I fail at that all the time. But he wants us, and he never fails. And I was sat working in a lockdown. We weren't allowed out of the house. And Finn was probably Toby's age, maybe a bit younger. And he was sat on the floor in the living room, just playing with toys, just doing his own thing. And I was working, and I sat back, and I just looked over and I saw him. And he was in his own little world. He was doing something, playing with dinosaurs, just creating something. He had no idea that I was there. He had no idea that I could see him. He had no idea that I was even paying him any attention in that moment. And I looked back and I was so moved to him. I saw him doing what he was doing. I saw him just being himself. I saw my son. I saw Finn. And I just sat and thought to myself, man, I love him. He is amazing. He's beautiful. He's just, I wonder what kind of man he's going to become. Like, and I just started like just loving him, just drawing to mind all these things. And he had no idea I was there. And then the Lord said, that is what I do with you on the weeks like I've had, in the weeks like we've had, when we're distracted, when we're preoccupied, when we're busy. We don't hold up our part of the relationship sometimes because we're not perfect. But he is the perfect father who is always drawn towards us. He loves us all the time, constantly, never ending. He's always aware of us, always attentive to us, and he loves us. And so this morning, if you've ever been to church and felt like, time to put the game face on, time to put my church hat on and my church face and pretend that everything's all right, you don't need to do that. He wants you as you are, where you are. My favorite verse on worship is in Romans when Paul says that our true and proper worship is a life, living, holy sacrifice to him. Every day, every breath, every minute. He just wants us, who we are, where we are. That's what our worship is. And when we just shift our attention and we shift our gaze a little bit, we encounter the presence of God. Because he's always present. He's always aware of us. All the time. And when we're not, we just need to shift our gaze. Just a little bit sometimes. Just away from us. Away from Netflix. Away from Amazon. Away from, cool, I'm just going to distract myself a little bit more. And the world really wants to distract us right now. Really, really wants to distract us. This thing really, really wants to distract us. I read a statistic the other day that if this is in the same room as you, not just on your person, but if it's just there, my attention to who's in front of me is reduced by 75%. I'm always there. I'm always thinking. I call it I like Lord of the Rings, one ring to rule them all. When that rings, like I'm there, like that rules them all. And our attention is being fought for all the time, all the time. This one thing I ask from the Lord, this only do I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. And this morning, church, I just want to worship him. Put all the distractions to one side. And if that means putting your phone, like, I don't know, like, don't have it in your pocket. Just put it under the seat or something. I was going to suggest, like, sending a bucket around. That's such a bad idea. Someone's like, thank you. Off I go. But I just want to worship him. It's Pentecost. It's Pentecost Sunday, and I believe there's always a fresh invitation for more, to be filled again. And I wrote a song a little while back. We actually sang it here at the beginning of the year. And the lyrics are based on Psalm 27. And maybe you want to close your eyes, put your phones away. When those intrusive thoughts wander through your mind, they will. It happens. Apparently, we are losing to goldfish on our ability to stay focused. About 8 or 9 seconds before, oh, I'm going to do something else. But if you can, just close your eyes. Do what you need to do to get into a space where you're just thinking about Jesus. Now, you might picture Jesus. You might think about a Bible verse. Whatever you do, however you do it, just give him your full and undivided attention. The lyrics to the song go like this. Only you, you're who we're longing for. Only you, Lord, let your glory fall. Come like a cloud or in the silence. It's not for me to choose. I just want you. Come like a fire or in the stillness. It's not for us to choose. We just want you. Jesus, I thank you that this morning there hasn't been a second that you haven't been aware of us. You sing over us as we sleep. And when we open our eyes in the morning, you greet us with a smile. Where can I go from your presence? And Lord, this morning, wherever we need to, we say sorry for the ways and the things that we've been distracted by, not even this week, but just today. That we are a people of your presence. That we would be people aware of you in every moment. Right here, right now, on Tuesday morning or Friday night. Holy Spirit, we say sorry where we've been distracted. We say sorry for where we've made choices that have elevated other things over you. And Jesus, I thank you that you forgive us. I thank you that you are smiling over us right now. And so in this place, where the curtain is torn, where we celebrate and remember this morning of all mornings that we don't have to go to a temple to experience your presence, because we have become temples of your presence. We turn our attention and our affection to you with no distraction and say, Jesus, we love you. 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 We love you, Lord Jesus. We love you. We love you. We want you and you alone. We want to be a people of your presence. We want to be a people who worship unashamed, unrestrained. Just start to turn the tap on. The faucet on in your worship. Just start to turn it on. Just, Jesus, I love you. Start there. Just tell him, Jesus, I love you. And get a little bit loud. If it's a whisper, that's fine. But church, let's just start to worship. Just turn the tap on. Let it come out. Let it flow. Jesus, we love you. We love you. We love you. We love your presence. There is no one like you. There is no one besides you. You are more beautiful than all the words and all the languages could ever express. You are more glorious than anything. Church, just turn the tap a little bit more. Let that worship flow out. If it sounds like a cry, that's fine. If it sounds like words, that's fine. Just give him your worship. Lift up your voice.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.